Lord, we pray and ask that you would guide, lead, and direct in all things. And we pray for your will to be done. And we just need to hear from thee tonight. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. I don't think you turned on my lapel yet. You can be seated. It's not on. Or, no, I'm on. All right. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And as we go through another psalm tonight, Lord willing, this one really is a picture of the Christian's life, maybe heartache versus blessing. If you look at the contrast, he talks about being afraid, you know, in verse 1, the wicked and the enemies, verse 2, the host and the war in verse 3, and then he says, I be confident at the end of verse 3, and then he talks about in verse 4, you know, beauty, and verse 6, joy and praises, singing and mercy in verse 7. And the one verse I want to hone in on right at the very beginning is something I've really bolded in my Bible. It said, I had fainted, in verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we were talking about some stuff before we started the service tonight, and you know, you can think very negatively, or you can think positively and realize, listen, no matter what happens, you've got God. And no matter how bad things could possibly get, your relationship should stay close with the Lord and actually get closer. So that's, you know, I had fainted, verse 13, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, yeah, it might be after the rapture, we don't know. But I mean, the thing is that it's the goodness of the Lord you're looking for. It's not the goodness of man. It's not, you know, everybody is doing what you want and everything's turning out great. No, it's the goodness of the Lord. And he said, look, I'd have fainted had I not believed that the goodness of the Lord would come back to me. So let's go back to verse 1. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, and my heart against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall abide, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Well, I could go through the whole thing, but I guess I'll go back and teach a little bit and then we'll finish it out. But when you read that psalm and you read it with understanding, you read it with a thought behind it, you read it with the intent of how it was meant to be encouraging to you, although, listen, not all of it is. You know, he's talking about, you know, wicked and enemies and foes and a host and a war. You know, he's talking about all that stuff, and you could look at it and go, man, that's rough. But I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, listen, it's easy to faint. Brother was talking about people in Michigan. You know, there's a lot of people fainting. They're quitting. They're giving up. They're weary in well-doing. The Bible says we'll reap if we faint not.
You don't need to faint. You need to keep going. You need to keep pressing forward. And I'm telling you, it does not matter what the devil throws at you, the fiery darts of the wicked. God is still control. God is on His throne. God changes things through prayer. So what do? You start looking at the world, you get discouraged. You start praying, you get encouraged. You start looking at your, you know, whatever it is in your life that you might be struggling with. You look to God and let Him take care of it. So as you go through here, it says, let me give you a couple of verses. Well, I tell you what, look at Acts chapter 14. Let's go ahead and turn there. I think I dealt with this when we were looking at the kingdom of God on Sunday mornings. But in Acts 14, look at verse 22. He says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That's not the tribulation. It's much tribulation. So listen, you're going to go through things in this life. You're going to have surgeries. You're going to have heartbreaks. You're going to have heartburn. You know what you do? Through much tribulation, you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. So realize that the end in sight is so much better. So much better. Look at another verse. Look at Job chapter 5. Job, an interesting book to consider because of what he went through. And you remember his friends, you know, they came up and, you know, they were miserable comforters, I think he said. But in Job chapter 5, look at verse 7. Very simple verse. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. That's pretty encouraging. Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. You know what you're going to have in your life? You're going to have some trouble. You're going to have some tribulation. You're going to go through things that are going to so discourage you that you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to faint. And if you do that and you think that way, don't be too hard on yourself. You're normal. You're just what God needs. What's He need? When I am weak, then am I strong. You see, if we start thinking that we can do all this on our own, that we've got this strength, that in our inner being, ourselves, not the spirit that's within us, but we can do it. Listen, you and I can't do it, but God can. And with God's help, He will. What do we have to do? My dad and I talked for about 30 minutes today, and he was asking me a lot of questions. And, you know, he mentioned to me that he said, hey, you know, he wrote me a birthday card. I called him on it because I said, dang, it was pretty good, and he said, you know, I put in there that I was very proud of you. And he said, but the preacher preaches about that a lot. And he said, is it wrong? I said, no. I said, but if you remember back, and you probably don't because I didn't do it as much as I'd say, congratulations, Doug, and I'd turn the glory to God. Well, unless you understand that, it's frustrating. You know, basically, what's God got to do with this? If you don't understand, well, He does understand. So I went through and I explained that to him. I said, listen, it's okay to say that so long as it all reverts back to God. You know, I've written some books. Who gave me the ability to write? What if I don't write? I still have the ability, don't I? So I have to take the credit for messing it up, but I have to give God the glory for whatever He does. And that goes with anything. That goes with preaching or speaking. I've already told you, I can't speak in public. I'm scared to death. I thought I was going to die when I was in speech class, but guess what? I can get up in front of a crowd and it doesn't affect me like that anymore. Why? That's it. That's it. So you see, I can't take the credit and I can't be prideful, you know, and it's okay for you to be proud of your children. you know, it's different. And I explained, and he said, oh, yeah, I got that. I get you. I said, just make sure you understand, you know, if I have anything in my life that you would look at and you would say, well, I'm proud of you for that, you know, you just got to realize that without God saving me 42, and this is what I told him, saving me 42 years ago, I don't know where I'd be, but I don't think I'd be where I am. And I actually could have said, I would not be where I am. Because I remember the path that I was going. I was living on Okaloosa Island, partying, and, you know, it was just an empty void. And then then I was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm moving off the island. I'm going to quit partying so much. I'm going to go to college at night. I'm going to go to church and find a wife. And then I go to church and find Jesus. Who even knew that that's what I needed? I didn't know, but that's what changed me. So what I am today is because of Him. What I accomplish is because of Him. What you are today is because of Him. What you accomplish is because of Him. And that's where we have to stay focused on that. Job said, man is born in trouble, the sparks fly upward. Boy, that's a, you know, you want a sad outlook. Read Job. Read Job sometime. He says in that first verse, the Lord is my light and my salvation. In 1 John 1:5, the Bible says God is light and there's no darkness in Him. How can there, you know, if God is light, there can't be any darkness in Him. Because when light comes into the world, or light comes into a room, the darkness flees. You can't have light and darkness together in the same spot. Because light will always overwhelm the darkness. There's no darkness can't overwhelm the light unless the light is extinguished. But if you have light and you have Jesus, you have light, God is light, you got God, you got light, you don't have to have darkness. I talk about the world a lot and I say, you know, look, you just be aware of it. Be ready, be prepared, be thinking, be forward thinking. We could be here another 20 years though. I do not, listen, I thought we were gone in 1988. We're still here. So I'm telling you, it's 2023, and we could be here for, not all of you, but not me either. We could be here in 2043. I doubt it. Yeah, you know, Peter's like, nah. Yeah, but, you know, but, yeah, COVID, I believe, took us from where we were on the scale of what we could see. And, you know, we're like this. You know, it's all, well, probably like this. And then all of a sudden it was like this. I mean, things changed quick in a period of a year. You know, and we saw some things. And we saw what the government can do. We saw what people that are not even elected can get up and say, no, we need you to, you know, to follow our guidelines. And if you want to get together, you know that in California, they were having people turn people in if they had too many people at their house gathering? Really? Listen, if I want to have people over at my house, it's nobody's business. It's not the government's business. But that's what that is where we were heading, and guess what? There's only a few things that stop some of that. You just got to make sure that whenever you thwart some stuff, you don't err so far that you take away the rights on the other side. You know, we can get to thinking, oh man, we got it handled, and you don't. Listen, Republicans have spent as much money as the Democrats in this country. Their excessive spending. That may have turned in this last administration. There's quite a few trillion dollars. They sort of got way ahead of the curveball. But what I'm telling you is it's not the government that's going to solve it. It's not the government's solution. And it's all big spending because all they want to do is get reelected and have power and have clout. And the way you do that is with them purse strings. That's what the power is all about. And it doesn't matter whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Socialist, or anything. Look at, let's look at verse 2. He says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. I'll just give you this, John 18:6. You remember when they asked, you know, where Jesus was, he says, I am he. What happened? They all fell back. And if you read that account in John 18, it doesn't say, then they asked again. Well, look at John 18:6. Let me see if I can, wasn't really prepared to mention it so clearly. Let's read it and see if you see what I was getting ready to say. John 18, verse 5. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. So they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, what I was going to say was, we don't even know if they ever got up again right away. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. They probably asked him the second time from the ground. But notice it said, your enemies, they stumbled and they fell. God can do the same thing with you. I don't mean, you know, knock people back, you know, and put them on their, you know, rear end. I'm just saying that God can protect you that way. He's still God. He's God. He's on the throne. Don't let the troubles of this life and the people of this world ever get the best of you. And if they do get the best of you, don't let them get the best of you for very long. That's the key. The key is not whether you'll never fail. The key is, what do you do when you do fail? Do you get back up? Do you keep going? Do you keep your eyes on the Lord? Do you learn the lessons that you needed to learn? What do you do? So, look at Jeremiah verse 12. Jeremiah 12th chapter, I mean. Jeremiah 12. He says in verse 3 of Psalm 27, though an host should encamp about me, against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Jeremiah 12, look at verse 5. He says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? He's saying, look, you're looking at it and you've run with the footmen and they wearied you. How are you going to contend with the horses if the footmen wearied you? In the land of peace wherein ye trusted, you put your trust in the land rather than in God, and they wearied thee. How are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan whenever the Jordan's overflowing and the waters are coming in, the floods are coming? How are you going to do? That's what the Bible's asking. I'm going to be confident in this one thing in Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. The Bible says in James 4, 2, you have not because you ask not. 1 John 5, 14, confidence, if you ask anything according to His will, He heareth you. Listen, God hears your prayers. God knows your thoughts. God knows your needs. I'm going to be confident in this one thing. I want to be with God all the way up to the end. I want to die on the battlefield. I think there's a song like that. I want to die on the battlefield. I don't want to turn my weapon in, give up my sword, studying the sword of the Lord and all that, how His breath will just destroy His enemies when He returns at the second coming. And how that sword's the Word of God. And boy, it's just a magnificent study. I probably got another 20 hours in it this week. I'm just about finished with Revelation chapter 1 going through. So I've got the introduction. I'll have Revelation 1. I think we're going to start studying Revelation on Wednesday nights in March. And I may write the pastor's ponderings in the next paper and give them a little outline of Revelation. And, you know, maybe somebody will come. Maybe they won't. I don't know. Do be praying about the conference. That went out to, I don't know how many papers they put it in, but, you know, we had a whole page spread with my pastor's ponderings and then the spread on the conference. So just, you know, pray that the people that God wants here will be here. Maybe nobody. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. In the past, you could have a meeting and people would show up. In the past, we had meetings when I was on the prophecy. We'd have people coming in from all these different states. You know, we'd be in Colorado Springs, Orlando, and have a hotel, 1,500 people in one room. Just doesn't happen much anymore. You know why? People are getting weary. Especially if you're talking about Jesus coming back, Jesus coming back, Jesus coming back. And they're like, well, he hadn't come back yet. They start thinking, well, he's not going to come back. I'll tell you what, as soon as you quit, he'll come back. That's how I've always believed that. That as soon as I quit, and I don't plan on quitting, wouldn't that be something if you quit, he comes back that day? He knows your heart. Listen, I'm telling you, just stay true to God. No matter what the devil throws at you. He says in verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. He says in James 4:10, humble yourself and he shall lift you up. Humble yourself and he'll lift you up. You know what the problem is? Too many times we're lifting ourselves up. And you can't do that. You know, the Bible talks, you know, when I go into a meeting or something, I don't sit at the head table. I mean, even when we go out to eat, I'll frequently just not, you know, Robert needs to sit at the head table because he needs more space. Just kidding. But he's not sitting at the head of the table because, you know, he wants the prestigious spot. He just likes to have nobody on his side, you know, and that very well could be for anybody. But if your mindset is, oh, I need to sit at the head of the table, you know, the Bible talks about that. It says you don't want to sit there and then have to, you know, they come in and go, oh, by the way, that's for the president or that's for the, you know, the chairman or that's for this. And then you've got to get up and move. And then because you didn't pick that seat, now you got to move all the way to the back. And that's what that principle is. Humble yourself. Let God lift you up. Let God be the one. If you have to talk about yourself or all that, then there's a problem. So as we move on, it says in verse 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You can jot down Jeremiah 29:13. It talks about those that seek me will find me. Search for me with all your heart. Listen, I want to search out God. I study the Word of God and I prepare for the messages and it's a weariness to the flesh, no doubt about it. I told Judy today, I said, man, I said it's just addicting, the book of Revelation, because it's been 3 years since I really got into Revelation. And you know, it's just, I got an itchy nose, sorry. It's just God keeps giving me stuff. And then I'm thinking, you know, I've made a commitment. Now I've waited 3 years to teach it in this church. It's time. I believe it's what God wants me to do starting in March. Well, if I know that, guess what? The one thing you don't do on Revelation is you don't wait. Because you got, you know, you're studying here and it applies here. And then do you push this off here? Well, you got to have a huge direction when you're teaching a book like that. Psalms is not like that. Psalm 27, stand alone. Psalm 28, stand alone. Revelation 6 through 19 is not stand alone. It's all together. So you got to get really far ahead and then work on it. But just pray for me that I'll be able to do that. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, the Bible says, seek him while he may be found. You know, there's a lot of people that think, well, you know, when I get married, I'll serve the Lord. When I have children, I'll serve the Lord. Doesn't work that way. You know, there's a lot of people that said that, and then they got married, and they had a bad habit, and they just kept with the old habits. They had children, they kept with the old habits. I used to say, well, I never wanted to miss church because I didn't want it to become a habit. And listen, I remember somebody saying to me, well, that's a bad reason for going to church. I said, it may be, but looking back now, it's worked for 42 years, other than the 3 years I did not go to church. But you see, I've already been out there. I've already seen what it's like not to be in church and not to pray and not to have that relationship and not to have these relationships. There's nothing like these relationships. Nothing. So as you go on, let's go on down to verse 7. I'll read the rest of the psalm. He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Now God says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you ever feel like He has? So what do you say? Lord, don't forsake me. Lord, don't leave me. Why? Because that's a human reaction. And you don't have to go, well, there's a verse in there that says He'll never leave me or forsake me, but it sure feels like He is. Well, tell God. That's, you know, if you had a spouse and you felt like there was something strained there, what do you do? Well, I don't want to talk to her about that. I don't want to talk to him about that. No, talk to each other. Same way with God. He's just being honest. Think about what David went through. Think about Solomon. Think about Saul who's trying to kill him. Think about his brothers and how they made fun of him. And he comes up and all he wants to do, he sees a giant and says, that giant can't say that against my God. I need to go out there. I need to fix the problem. Oh, you're just proud, David. You just came down here to see the battle. What's wrong? No, Dad sent me to bring you guys some food. He's innocent. How do you think he felt? He's human. He's a young man. He had the same frailties that you and I have. Do not think when you look at these people in the Bible that they didn't have the same types of things. Elijah was a man of like passions, the Bible says. Like passions, Elijah? The one that called fire down from heaven and killed the enemies, 450 prophets of Baal? He had like passions like you and me? Yeah. You remember Jonah? He just wanted to go and die. Listen, these people are in here to show us that they are great men and women of God. But they still have the same passions. Verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Boy, there's people that have gotten saved and their families forsook them. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. Boy, that's a good prayer. For false witnesses are driven up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What a psalm! You get discouraged this week, read this psalm. You think the whole world's against you, read the psalm. You think you're not going to make it through, read the psalm. I had fainted unless I believed I was going to see God in this life. Read the psalm. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said he believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Doesn't say he saw it. You know what it takes to stay encouraged? Faith. Faith. You say, I just don't see how things are going to work out. It takes faith. It takes faith. I want to have that type of faith. I want to have the faith that can move mountains. I want to have the faith that makes a difference in the lives of others. But you can't trust in yourself. You can't trust in others. You can't trust in the government. You got to trust in God. I got to trust in God. And that's what I'm determined to do. I am determined to draw nigh unto Him, and He'll draw nigh unto me. That's our motto verse, or whatever your theme verse for the year. Draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto thee. Sometimes that seems hard to do, but it's not. You get into His Word, you'll draw nigh unto Him. You pray, you'll be drawn nigh unto Him. You talk to others, you'll be drawing nigh unto Him. You help others that are in need of help, you'll be drawing nigh unto Him. And you will see Him draw nigh unto you. You'll have the peace, the joy, and the contentment. Listen, you don't have to have perfect health to have God. There's a lot of people in here that don't have perfect health. Draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, do you thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on that cross. We pray for thy will to be done. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. As the music plays...